It is wonderful to have the e-talk coinciding with the retreat here in Colorado. I am now in my second retreat in this tour and coming from Boise, Idaho. In Idaho, we had also a beautiful non-residential five-day retreat. And the theme of the retreat was our true home. So it had me reflect on the meaning of true home. And since then, I have been walking with that wonderful true home team, remembering how our teacher has taught us to arrive home with every step. And so after that retreat, it was very easy for me to get back to that beautiful practice that we are sharing. And yesterday, during the orientation talk of this retreat, my brother Matt and our sister Val has done a wonderful orientation based on this year's study, the Anapanasati Sutra. So they started with breathing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And with each of the breathing, they were introducing the practice that we are doing, that we usually do, and that we in retreats, and that we also try to bring into our daily life. So it is a privilege for me to be able to be practicing those practices that we have been sharing and practicing together. It is very wonderful to have the chance and opportunity to come from one retreat to the next and to continue on with the practice. During the orientation talk yesterday, what I have mentioned to our friend here is it is so wonderful to be listening to our friends who have practiced the different practices and to share it from their life experience. And for us, all practitioners like me, it is also very wonderful to be able to hear it and to hear it being said in a different, fresher tone voice, remembering how the same teaching has been taught to us by Thay in the early 80s, when we were in Montreal in our very small sangha listening to Thay and to Sister Cheng Kong, teaching us how to do those wonderful breathing exercises and the walking. And it is also nice to be there sitting and then reflecting on my own practice. What is it that I have been doing? What is it that I have been doing well? What is it that I have forgotten to do and that I need to get back to? And that is so good and so wonderful to be in retreat. So thank you, dear Sangha. Thank you, dear Sanghas, for your diligent work every week, every month, every day of the year in order to sustain, to maintain the Sangha and to offer this practice to friends everywhere we are. And we know how much we have, how much this practice has helped us and how much it can continue to help so many beings. So our presence as a community of mindful living, our community, our presence as Sangha, our presence as mindfulness practice centers, our presence as practitioners, fellow workers in everywhere we are, so important. So This morning, I was practicing what we have all been practicing together, whether we are in this retreat or whether we are at the Montreal MPC Day of Mindfulness today, or whether we are in Austin, Texas. We have all been practicing that same practice we do every morning. Waking up this morning as my 24 brand new hours are before me, I promise myself, I vow to leave them in mindfulness and to look at our being through the eyes of compassion. Such a wonderful practice, and so easy to practice when we are in a retreat. And I know that because we are Saturday, because this is the day of the talk, we all woke up this morning with that wonderful yata, waking up this morning as mine. And smiling, greeting a new day, coming back home in this present moment, to be in touch with everything that is so wonderful and so beautiful. And this morning it was, now I don't want you to make you jealous, but this morning I woke up a little bit earlier than usual and I looked out at my window. And what did I see? The snowy peak that I saw yesterday when we came in were hidden by a big cloud. So I could not see the mountain anymore. But I looked in the parking lot and there were must have been, I don't know, 20, 30 deers walking around. It was so peaceful, so beautiful, and I did take some picture. But the screen in front of the window did not allow me to take as nice a picture as I would like to. So I tried to take the screen off. And when I did that, the deer were all looking up at me. Who is that beast disturbing our morning peace? So I gave up, and with the result that I did not catch a beautiful picture of the deer walking around to share with you. And so this is only a continuation of the wonderful movie that has been playing since we arrived here yesterday. Yesterday when I came in, it was sunny. The sun was shining. All the clouds were all white. The snowy peak was just like a cake. What's that cake? All white. Not that. It comes with strawberries. Okay, some time ago in my childhood, I remember that it was really a treat because in Vietnam, to have a crème fraîche, a fresh cream, is not easy because of the weather. It is difficult to keep the cream. And when you do whipped cream with it, it is also very difficult to keep it solid enough to stay. So it would, it's like quite complicated to do a cake with crème fouettée. And in the crème fouettée, you would put some diced strawberries. And so there is a layer of genoise, another layer of that mix, another, and for it becomes big like this, as big as the cake that Hélène brought to the monk. And it would be all covered with that beautiful white crème fraîche and kept in the refrigerator so that it will stay in that shape. And so yesterday when Brother Matt drove me to this place, I was just in awe of watching that, and that beautiful cake just keep coming back. And I wanted to ask him to stop on the way, but we were, well, friends were waiting, so we could not stop. But still all registered in my memory. And so it was not difficult to transition from the beautiful Pure Land in Boise, Idaho, to this beautiful Pure Land in the Rockies. And the only thing you could say, yes, but where's the cherry? And to my friends in Quebec, it's not the meaning that you are used to. So my friend here answered, well, the cherry is to come, and it is in the retreat, and this is what we are doing together, sharing with you, cherry on the cake. So that sound of the bell was to invite us back, if we are not here yet, and to invite all friends from everywhere to join us in this beautiful retreat. And if you have not arrived yet, this community will offer you a song so that we all arrive and be together in this beautiful no birth, no death, when clouds become rain. Retreat in Idaho, in Colorado. At the last retreat in Boise, Idaho, we came back and really to study a wonderful sutra. And we all know it. It's the sutra on the better way to live alone. To our new friend here in this retreat, we will have the chance to come back to it during this retreat, because that is one of the basic sutra that I have mentioned that are part of our tradition. And it's about coming back to the present moment, coming back to our true home. In the Gatha of the sutra, there's one sentence that touched me very deeply, and that I shared during we shared again during the retreat. And it is that sentence that say, "Be diligent today. Tomorrow may be too late. Death come unexpected, and no one can bargain with death with it." So we were reminded of our impermanent nature. And that was the exercise number 13. And Sister Terry gave a wonderful talk on impermanence. And starting with the 13 mindful breath, we got into the second wing of our practice. Yesterday I have mentioned in this retreat that the first 12 exercises, these are very important. And we need to practice them very diligently. We have to practice them in a way that it become our way of life. It's just not about knowing it. It's really about living it. And we start with the first exercise, breathing in, breathing out. And the second exercise, this is a short breath. This is a long breath. And that was a wonderful introduction. That was a wonderful teaching. The Buddha inviting us to stop and to come back. To come back and to be in touch with what is there. To be in touch with our in-breath and out-breath. And to realize that wonderful miracle of calming it. So body and mind united, calming the breath. And that is the first and the second exercise. And those two exercises need to be mastered, need to be an exercise that is not an exercise anymore. We train ourselves so that it becomes our true nature, so that it becomes a part of us. As much as we have trained ourselves into all of our habits, this is a new training to get us back to, or to give us the habit of coming back and being there, body and mind united, present, be able to be in touch with everything that is happening in this present moment. So once we have started with that exercise, the Buddha is giving us another one still to improve on that capacity to be able to come back, to recognize, to identify, and to calm down. So first exercise, recognizing the in-breath and the out-breath. Second exercise, calming or recognizing that the in-breath and the out-breath has been calmer, slower, deeper. We use that same technique or that same competency or the same skill, and we give it to our body, aware of whole body, calming the whole body. And we bring that thing to the feelings. And we bring that thing also to the mental formation. And it is all about identifying, recognizing, identifying, and calming down. And in order to be able to do that, the Buddha also introduced some nourishing practices to allow us to do that work. So the exercise on joy and happiness and the exercise of gladdening our mind are nourishment that we can give to ourselves, to our body, and to our mind in order to be able to do the recognizing, embracing, and calming the unwholesome mental formation and the unpleasant feelings. And all of those 12 exercises are in the realm of stopping, coming back, calming, And that is the Samatha meditation. And the Thai has taught us that the meditation, mindfulness meditation, comprises of two elements. Our mindfulness meditation is like a bird of two wings. And the one wing is the Samatha meditation. And the other wing is the wing of looking deeply, is the wing of Vipassana. And starting with the 13th exercise, we get into the looking deeply. Looking deeply into the nature of things in order to understand, and understanding, as we know, according to the Buddha, is the way to our liberation. We are liberating ourselves. Not anybody can do it, but ourselves, for ourselves, through our understanding. So the last four exercises are the essence of the teaching, are the essence of the practice, are really the cream of the Buddhist teaching. And a cream that we can only make up for ourselves. And that is why I am very careful and shy in getting into those heavy, deep. Okay, I need to go wash my mouth now. Practices. They are insights. They are realization. They are not knowledge. They are not notions and concepts that we need to learn or to. Yeah, to learn about. But there are insights, and insights can only come through our diligent regular practice. And so that is why I often say, I'm not going to the difficult one. And yesterday when we spoke about the practice of embracing unpleasant feelings, I said, no, I don't want to get there. It's too difficult. And I just want to stay with the breathing in, breathing out, generating joy and cultivating happiness. That is to say that there's a progression in the practice that we need to allow ourselves. And Brother Matt has been suggesting that I come here in the winter time so that I can ski the Rockies Mountain. And I said, you know, I did that a very long time ago, and the small hill we have outside of Montreal is all that I can do. I do not think that I will do the, how do we call it, heli ski? No, not for me. So I will stay with my small hill in Quebec and do my whatever I can there. But because I'm here, and the retreat was announced everywhere, I guess that I will need to venture into the realm of no birth and no death. When I was in Denver, in March and Market Hall. I had a lot of space and a lot of time and a wonderful time. So those are the few times that I have to allow myself to look into the nose. And it's really, funny is not the word, but when you are thinking, when you have a theme in meditation, when you are having a subject that you bring with you in your heart, in your body, in your mind, in your walking, in your, and that usually is what is happening when I am in a retreat. That thing is just following me. I'm not trying to, but it is there, and it's like, because it's there, everything that is related to it will appear. So because I am to come in a retreat, under the theme of no birth, no death. Because it has been also the theme of our monthly study, it has followed me. And so many things just pop up, oh, that's it, and they just appear. And one of the things that came up for me was the news, and I don't know what she did, and her name, Anshu, okay, you know who she is. I also, but I don't know how to pronounce her name, so difficult. Well, that wonderful Peace Nobel Prize recipient. And it's a, she has been many years. And what she said, you know, it's nothing. The only real prison is not those prison that they put me into with God's around, it is fear. And the only real freedom is our freedom from fear. And I just, and that is the voice of the Buddha. And that is what it is that we are studying right now with the four last exercises of the Anapanasati Sutra. So I will invite you to reflect on that wonderful saying. It's not a saying, that what she expressed, it is very, very Buddhist. And for me, that is the voice of the Buddha. And for me, that is also the conclusion of the ending of this wonderful sutra that we have been studying. So to come back to our, in French we say, to come back to our ships, okay, to come back to our retreat, no birth, no death. It seems like a contradiction, especially when we have been repeating to ourselves that practice right away, do it right now, because death comes unexpectedly and it can hit us anytime and we cannot bargain with it. And today we are talking about no birth and no death. So it's very contradictory. And that is what is fine with Buddhism. You can say anything and everything would be still right and wrong, right and okay. I don't know if I will have or you will have the chance to meet with my sister Margit. She's a wonderful cook. And I have experience, I have had some experience of no birth and no death with her, enjoying her cooking. So we were having a wonderful feast over a boiled corn cup of corn. And it reminded me of a teaching that Thay had given many years ago about the grain of the corn. And when I was in drying the corn of corn, that thing came back to me. And that story of Thay showing the corn, the grain of corn. And when I was eating it, I was thinking or imagining, or maybe it was reality, that I was eating the corn that came from the grain of corn that Thay was holding in his hand during the Dhamma talk 30 years ago. Where did that corn of corn come from? I don't know. Where did the grain of corn that Thay was holding in his fingers, where had it gone? But I remember Thay asked his attendant, to take that grain of corn and go plant it out in the garden. Now 30 years after, where have that grain of corn gone? I don't know. So maybe we have enjoyed it over at the dinner that we had at Mat. Or maybe it is right here in front of me. And it is unfortunate I do not have a remote camera to be able to show it to you. But in front of me, there's a pot of earth, and there's a little green sprout that is trying to pierce out. And it is a corn transitioning into another life. This community has been wonderfully practicing the teaching, observing the transition of a grain of corn into a plant of corn. And I don't know if we'll have the chance to come back this summer or this fall, but all of those grain may be getting together in a field, and we will enjoy true homegrown organic. Will they be organic? Yes, okay. Organic corn fed with love by Sangha members. So no birth, no death. That grain of corn was in a cup of a living corn somewhere. And before it became a cup of corn, it was in the soil. In the soil, maybe before that grain of corn germinated. And now I'm asking myself, not knowing how the cup of corn that I have so enjoyed in Market Kitchen, where it has gone. I don't know. Well, I know some of it. I have seen it gone. But that is only a very small part of it. And there's a part of it that is still manifesting right here. You know, the energy that it gave me, the nutriment that it gave me, is allowing me to be sitting here and surviving the high altitude, whatever. And you see, through the internet, it is now going to Pittsburgh, it is also going. So that corn is traveling everywhere. And I don't know, as far as Mexico, where our sister, I don't know if Natalie is in Mexico, but if she's in Mexico, that corn is also reaching as far as Mexico. And that is what we can see and perceive. But we also know that our perception is very limited. And if that is what we perceive, then reality may be far more outreaching. So no birth, no death. We think we have been trained, or we have that belief that we have started somewhere. And somebody has given us a birth certificate to attest that we were born on such a date. And that was, I think 9 months after our conception. Maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more. So the date of birth is already wrong, because we already existed as a living being in the womb of our mother before they issued the certificate. And then, so one of the koan, one of the teaching that Thay taught us in the beginning, and it is really a Zen koan. How did you look like before the birth of your grandmother? And that is a wonderful invitation for us to look into our true nature, to look into our true date of birth, and to say that we have always been there. And so the belief that we were nothing before our birth is only a notion. because we have existed a long time before that. And so that the notion of birth is only a notion, and it is not reality, because we have been there long time before the date on our birth certificate. And in the same way, on our dying bed, some doctors will look at our vital sign and decide that person is dead. And so from somebody with a name, we become a corpse and we become nothing. And that is another notion, that we will become nobody, nothing. Well, we may become nobody, but we will not be nothing, and we will continue on. And in the same way, the cup of corn or the corn in Thai's hand is continuing right now. We will also continue. And we can only guess and smile at how we are continuing. Yesterday, Brother Matt gave us a beautiful invitation, and it's about continuation. And then Brother Matt, speaking about Thai, asked us to think of how we see or how we would like Thai to continue. And that is a wonderful invitation. I often come back to that, and every time I come back to that, it makes me feel very happy, because I can see his continuation in a very clear way. I can see it in the Sangha that I see in front of me, and he's continuing in each of us. And I can see it in the MPC Montreal on screen. I can see that the Thai is there, continuing also. And the Thai is really continuing everywhere. I just need to stop to look at it, and I will see it happening. I will see it. Yesterday, when I mentioned to you about how, now excuse my word, uncivilized, the doors in this building are, well, they are all operated with spring, very strong spring. And our tendency is when we cross the door, just leave it. And every time we leave it, it will remind us, hey, you did not take good care of me. Bang, it reminds us every time. And then not only us, but the whole floor. And so when yesterday I mentioned to you that door noise, reminds me of my teacher. And when I am mindful, when I am opening the door and closing the door, I told you that it is not my hand anymore, but it is Thai's hand holding the door and opening it and closing it. And when I have that feeling, when I have that vision, when I am that hand holding the door, it gives me soul. There's no word to describe that. I was to say it gives me a lot of joy and happiness, but joy and happiness cannot describe how I can feel when I am in that. And all of a sudden, I can understand when Thai suggests us to hold the hand of the Buddha when we are doing walking meditation. Coming back to our true home. Practicing coming back to the present moment. We can manifest that also. And this is not an invention. These are not words. It is. And when we are in our practice, when we are back home, when we are in our true home, no birth and no death is real. And there's no words to express how we feel when we can touch that thing even briefly. So to come back to our retreat, no birth and no death, just like impermanence, or no self, or nirvana. They are only words. And if we study them as words, they will stay words. And if we can read about them a lot, they may become notions. And notions is really not what we are after. What we are after with the 13 exercise, with the 14 exercise, with the 15 exercise, with the 16 exercise is insight. Is realization. And insight and realization cannot be expressed by word and cannot be learned through words. It comes only through our daily diligent practice, breathing in, breathing out, walking, arriving, coming back as often as we can. As joyfully as we can. And the notion of impermanence will become or will manifest itself and we will see it as a reality and not just as a word or a notion. And that will be the last teaching that the Buddha is giving in this series of exercise. And that is to let go of all notions, including the notions of no notion, including the notion of nirvana. So after the 12 exercises that we have been doing, in order to allow us to come back, in order to allow us to... Okay. I promise you that this will be joyful. So we practice coming back to the present moment. And we make ourselves available to all the beautiful things that are happening in every moment. And it is everywhere we are. Right now, I know that in Pittsburgh, all the flowers must be bursting out. And the flower can be there, bursting out, enjoying the sun shining on them and smiling. And they can be, as Thay has described, that yellow flower on the concrete sidewalk. And it will be there, smiling at all the people getting down from the bus. And among those people, I know that my brother Tony and my brother Michael are also in that crowd. And they will step down from the same bus, and they will see the lion flower smiling at them. And they will smile back at them. Than the lion, as they can see that Thai is also in behind it. But all the 20 other passengers in the bus cannot see that, but Brother Michael and Brother Tony would and will. And I know that in Montreal also, spring has started and the tulip are bursting out from the ground. So the tulip in Montreal or the dandelion on the sidewalk of Pittsburgh. Well, here there are so many that I will not describe to you because I'll get you jealous. But those miracles are happening all the time, everywhere. And we just need to make ourselves available for it, for them. And this practice is allowing us to do that. And when we are walking mindfully and we are in touch with those beautiful things, impermanence, will appear as the reality. We know that that tulip that has been showing itself so beautifully has not been there and has been hidden under feet of snow. But now that the snow has melted, they are manifesting themselves. And we look at them and we say, oh, yesterday you were not there and today you are there. But tomorrow you will die. Well, you will not die because I know I've learned about no birth and no death. And in the same way you have been hiding yourself during all the winter, you will go back into hiding again and you will reappear again next season. And we see no birth, no death right there. We do not need to go anywhere to learn it because we will be able to see it if we are there. And so the manifestation of no birth, no death is happening also every time, all the time. And if we have learned how to be present, be in touch with what is happening, we will see no birth and no death happening. And when we see no birth and no death happening, we know that life is beautiful. Because life is about birth and death, and life is also about no birth and no death. And we are celebrating life. And this practice is about celebrating life at every moment. I think that the time is over, and I am that I have been able to fulfill my promise of making this a happy moment. is our time over?
Hello, brother.
Okay, so we will end the talk here, and we will continue on with our retreat. In Montreal, there is a public day of mindfulness going on, and the room that we see is the courageous one who took the time off from the retreat to be with us in English. And this morning they also had their 14 mindfulness training recitation and OI day. So this is a wonderful, wonderful, I don't know which word to use. So I thank you, Montreal, for doing that. And I will be with you for that same day in June, where we'll have the OI day, OI recitation, and also the public talk, not the e-talk, will be broadcasted from Montreal. So and with this, I will bow out and thank you again for being there, and have a wonderful continuation of